Melanchon, a Southern Gothic erotic romance writer, attempting to figure out how to live my most enchanted life. Enchanted Beast Podcast is my new imaginary best friend, where I come to work my own spiritual shit out without necessarily feeling like I'm having conversations with myself. So feel free to join me. But remember, this podcast is where I let my enchanted beast roam wild and free. She is not tamed, timid, or tactful. But what she is? Well, Lilith is bold, essential, authentic, spiritual, and my yardstick of truth. So welcome to the Enchanted Forest. I look forward to seeing you here. Thank you for tuning in to Enchanted Beast Podcast, Season 4, Episode 8, entitled, "Of Course I Set Your Ass Up. How else would you live the enchanted life we planned for you?" In this episode, Ella continues to discuss the decadent lifestyle trap and how, using the same principles of design, you can create a blueprint for your most enchanted life. And now, your host, Southern Gothic erotic romance writer, Ella Shawn. Hello, my enchanted beast. How are you? We find ourselves back in the enchanted forest once again. I am so delighted to be here with you guys. 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. I know, I am forever not getting these damn episodes up on the 14th and the 30th. But, you know, life happens. I'm not beating myself up. They'll be here, right? Anywho, I hope that you guys are having an amazing entry into the second half of 2021. It's already July. I can't even believe June came and went so fast. But I have to share a little bit of why this episode is so freaking late. Finally, I was able to take my daughter to Las Vegas. And so we left out on the 22nd and we returned home on the 25th. And I know you're probably thinking, Ella, what the hell does that have to do with you getting the show done on the 30th? Well, I live in South Carolina. Las Vegas is out on the West Coast. There's a 3-hour time difference. They're like 3 hours behind us. Honey, when I got home, can you say jet lagged? I am still not on my regular sleep schedule. So, needless to say, I've been a hot stinking mess trying to get my life together after returning home from an amazing and wonderful trip to Las Vegas with my daughter. So yeah, it's not an excuse. It is what it is. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So we're moving back into this decadent lifestyle trap and talking about how we can use those principles that our beast used to design the trap for us. How we can use those same principles to realize the enchanted plan for our life that our beast has. So, of course, I want to start with a little quote. And this quote really is about taking something that is perceived as bad for us, something that has set us up for failure and defeat, and using that to your advantage so that you can make the very best of your life. I wrote a short story that is published in GirlTellMe.com, on GirlTellMe.com, that platform. And the title of the short story is Intersectionality. And it's spelled I-N-T-E-R-S-E-X-T-I-O-N-A-L-I-T-Y. Intersex, and then intersectionality. I was challenged to write a body positive story about a man who has a slightly smaller than 4-inch penis when fully erect. And so I took the challenge because, you know, writing romance, I'm always writing about these perfect penises, right? These perfectly long, thick, erect, beautiful penises that satisfy and hit the womb and just, they hit all the bells and whistles inside the vagina, right? And so I thought, how could I write a body positive short story about a man with what is perceived as a less than average dick? But I wrote it. I am so happy with the short story. So I'll put a link in the description if you want to take a look and read it. It's really, I think, clever. It's more of a meet cute instead of the full blown like romance, but it is still clever. And I think I did my man's justice. So this is a quote taken from that piece. If I'd taken my underwear off in that locker room, they would have seen something akin to a long clit sitting on top of a pair of oversized pussy lips. Can you imagine how embarrassing that would have been for them? What? Find humor and joy where you can, is what I tell myself. And that's really what this episode is about. It is finding the joy, finding the humor, finding the silver lining, finding a way to take what could very well be horrible circumstances and using them for your advantage, using them in a way that sets you up for your most enchanted life. So I want to start out with some key words and some key points. Key words for this episode are conceive, mindfulness, intention, passion, and abundance. So listen out, right? Throughout this episode, just kind of make sure you are paying attention as these words pop up. Or maybe some variations of these words pop up. The key points of this episode, I'm going to be talking about the components of an enchanted lifestyle. We learned all about decadent lifestyles and the components of that. And so today I want to share with you the components of an enchanted lifestyle. I want to make sure that, you know, you, me, us, we understand how to use design principles to facilitate the creation of this enchanted lifestyle. Lastly, I am definitely going to be harping on the importance of trusting the guidance of the enchanted beast. Lilith was like, don't forget to tell them to trust the beast. And so that will round out everything. So what are the components of an enchanted lifestyle, Ella? What even is an enchanted lifestyle? The enchanted lifestyle, as I envision it, has three important, immutable components, right? I'm saying you cannot live an enchanted life if these three aspects are not a part of it. Are these the only three aspects involved in an enchanted lifestyle? No, of course not. But these are the foundational three components that must be present in order to have an enchanted life. It's kind of like romance. Romance novels come in all shapes and sizes, all different forms, all kinds of tropes, and in all genres, right? Like romance can be plugged into mystery. Romance, you know, can be in suspense. Like you can have all sorts of genres and they can still be romance novels. The only thing that has to happen for it to be called a romance, there has to be an HEA. There has to be a happily ever after or a happily for now. But they have to be happy at the end of the novel. That's the only thing that is required to say, I write romance, is that you give your characters a happily ever after or a happy for right now. So these three components are kinda like that. You can add all kinds of other stuff into your enchanted life as long as they are in alignment with these three components. And what are those components? Service, creativity, and intellectualism. Your enchanted life must consist of service. It must consist of creativity, and there has to be a level of intellectualism included. So these big three, right? What exactly does it mean? Like, what does it even look like, right? So service is basically an action of doing work for or helping someone, offering assistance to. So service is helping people. It is doing something for someone else. It is assisting others. That's one of the most important aspects of living the enchanted life, is service. Doing something to help someone else, doing something to assist someone else, right? Without expectation of receiving anything in return. That's important. We're not going out here in service for humanity and expecting to get paid for it. No, this is all, I just want to help people. I want to help the environment. I want to help wildlife. I want to help, I don't know, whatever you want to do to help humanity, right? Secondly, creativity. Relating to or involving the imagination of original ideas, especially in the production of artistic work. Creativity is so important to having an enchanted life, because to enchant, we have to have a medium through which we enchant people, through which we serve people. And creativity is the most amazing gift the universe has to give us, along with the masculine energy of knowledge. Creativity is a feminine energy, and we have to have that, right? And as noted, intellectualism, knowledge, it's an understanding objectively, right? Being able to not only acquire knowledge, but to have an understanding of it. I am able to apply that knowledge. I am able to put that knowledge to use in different and less obvious ways. I am able to take something that is so large and abstract, and I can put it into something concrete and make it work. And not only make it work, but help other people understand how it works. So, the big three consist of divine feminine energy, creativity, divine masculine energy, intellectualism, and divine order of purpose, which is service. Right? So we have divine feminine energy, divine masculine energy, and a divine conduit to share that or those energies. And that divine conduit is service. So let me get this. Wait, I have to have all of them? Can I just choose to kind of roll with divine feminine energy and be a creative? Why do I have to have masculine energy? Can I just be an intellect and not fool with all the crayons and markers? Why do I have to serve people? Why, if I'm rolling around with all this divine energy, shouldn't people be serving me? And the thing is this. An enchanted life is full and rich in every area. There is no room for idleness and laziness. When you are living an enchanted life, you are living. And living is an active state of being. It isn't passive. So you are fully engaged in your life. So the enchanted life, it's like, imagine tapping in to cosmic knowledge and having access to all of that information. It's an intellectual orgasm. I mean, think about it. You not only understand yourself and the world in which you live, but you also understand how you're connected to every other living being throughout the world as well. And beyond that, you understand how you are connected to the universe, to divine source. With the amount of post-intellectual orgasmic endorphins floating through your bodies, you have no option other than to create. It is the only way to fully express what it is you know, what it is you understand. And because you are so blissed out on all of this knowledge and all these endorphins and all these high vibratory energies in and around and throughout your bodies, you want to share that with people. You want everybody around you to feel that way. You want everyone around you to move in the way that you move, to see themselves in the way that you're able to see them, because you're dialed in, because you are living this enchanted life. There is no way to take part in only one aspect. Creativity does not happen without intellectual stimulation. Feminine divine energy does not exist without masculine divine energy. And when those things come together, it is magic. And magic deserves an audience. You can't help but serve. It's how we are created. So if I had to give you one statement, like, oh, this is a clear, definitive statement of the enchanted lifestyle, I would say that living the enchanted lifestyle gives us the ability to progress in both intellectual and creative freedom, therefore providing an avenue for our service to humanity. If you want to know why you might want to engage in this enchanted lifestyle, that's it. That's it. Don't you want to progress? To grow and develop in both intellectual and creative areas? Having the freedom to fully immerse yourself intellectually and creatively in this world, in your life, and having the ability to share that through service with humanity? I mean, if you'd rather live the decadent lifestyle, if you'd rather stay in the trap, if you like the whole idea of keeping up with the Joneses and, you know, working like a slave with no feet to get a paycheck to pay for somebody else's enchanted lifestyle, do what you want to do. Me and my beast and me, we're definitely pushing towards this enchanted lifestyle. So I've shared with you the big three components, right? Service, creativity, intellectualism. You have an understanding of how those aspects relate back to the universe, right? I have shared with you why you might want to experience this, why you might want to pursue this enchanted lifestyle. Now I am going to help you understand how to go about doing it. That is, I'll be right back to help you understand how to go about doing it right after a brief message. Don't go away. You don't want to miss the rest of this episode. Sometimes we have to be broken before we are able to see the beauty of our light reflected in the mirrors of our soul. Pick up Alishan's Broken Souls series, books 1 and 2, wherever you shop for your favorite books, I'm Sprise and Mirrored Souls. Available on Amazon, Nook, iBook, and Kobo. It's a word nerd girl moment. It's time to get my word nerd girl on. And I'm back. Thank you guys so much for coming back and joining me for the second half of Enchanted Beast Podcast. We're getting ready to get into the nitty-gritty, and you know the second half goes pretty fast, so buckle up and let's get started. It's word nerd girl time, as you have heard, and you guys know how much I love my words, right? I'm going to give you a little quote. It's from author Kevin Hall and his book, Aspire. Your gifts are not about you. Leadership is not about you. Your purpose is not about you. A life of significance is about serving those who need your gifts, your leadership, your purpose. I absolutely love this quote. I love it for so many reasons, but mostly because I could have written it myself. This is what I tell my daughters all the time. This is what I impart on anyone that I'm speaking with about their gifts, their purpose, those intangible parts of self that make you who you are and that make who you are great. Those are not for you. Those are for the people who need them. You have these great abilities. You have these gifts. You have this calling because someone out there needs it. I'm reminded of a movie that came out, I think it was like 2012. The Odd Life of Timothy Green. It was one of the movies that I think Disney finally got right. I don't know if anybody else remembers it, but it had a profound effect on myself and my children. The story is this couple couldn't have kids and they had exhausted everything that they could. So they began to write down all of these wonderful, beautiful attributes that their son, Timothy, would have if they could conceive him. So they wrote everything down. They put it in an old cigar box. They took it out back and they buried it in their garden. The next morning, there's a boy covered in dirt. He looks exactly like their Timothy would look, and his name is Timothy. As if that were not odd enough, Timothy had leaves growing from his legs. Beautiful green leaves. I'm not quite sure how many leaves he had, but it was quite a bit. And every time he used his natural abilities, every time he gave himself selflessly to someone who needed him, every time he exhibited one of those magnificent attributes that his parents wrote down on the paper and buried in the cigar box, a leaf would fall off. He gave his last leaf to his mother's father. And when they got home, he had to explain to his mom and dad, "It's time for me to go now." And they couldn't understand why. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, I have given everything I had to give to this world. I have served everyone I could serve. I have fulfilled my purpose. You had the opportunity to be a parent to the perfect child you created. I had the opportunity to heal, to help, to make someone laugh, to give someone friendship. I have served my purpose. All my leaves are gone. It's time for me to move on. And that's what we need to understand about this enchanted life. It's not about being served. It's not about being elevated and celebrated by the masses. No, an enchanted life is a life of service. That is why we are all here. We are all here to serve humanity. Every living being is here for the sole purpose of being in service. Today's word is service. Initially, I was thinking, people know what the word service means, Ella. Don't insult their intelligence. And then the more I thought about it, the more I considered things, the more I realized, no, I don't believe people really do understand what the word service means. I think most people confuse the word service with servitude. And that is why they don't want to be in service to anyone. So we're going to define this word. It is an action word, to be of service. It is an action word. And because the enchanted life requires your full cooperation, your full engagement, there is no passive anything. You don't have the opportunity to be passive. You have to be actively engaged in every decision going forward. So the word service as a verb means to perform duties or services, to present anything to someone, to be of specified use in achieving or satisfying, deliver of former and formal documentation, to answer the need of, to contribute, to be enough, to yoke, to join together. Service. It is performing, it is presenting, it is being of specified use, it is achieving and satisfying, it is delivering, it's answering, contributing, it is simply being enough. It is simply being enough. It is to yoke or to join together. These are all active endeavors. So I looked at the word service and I piddled through a bajillion like synonyms. And it was so beautiful how things just kind of fell into place. I got to three E's. Service moved into endeavor. Endeavor is to try or to attempt to. It is an undertaking. Right? I endeavor to. He endeavored in. It is an undertaking of something. And a word that was related to endeavor is to endear. What does it mean to endear? Endear means to cause light-hearted emotions, to bring about feelings of affection, to make others appreciate and love. It is endearing. Her little freckles sprinkled across her nose. Why is it important to be endearing? You know, we started off talking about decadence, and of course it's a Southern Gothic situation, and because I write Southern Gothic erotic romance, I'm always looking at these words because words are so important. And I find myself looking at my characters and I'm like, what's so endearing about my character in the short story, Intersectionality? I mean, he's gorgeous, he's successful, but let us be honest. Most women do care about size. And my man is working with what is medically called a micropenis. It's not 4 inches erect. It's less than 3.75 inches when fully erect. And yet, the character is completely endearing. Why? What is it about him that is so endearing? And I continued to look through these words, and endearing to cause extreme delight. So I went to delight and I said, what does delight mean? What does it mean to cause delight or to be delightful or to be delighted? And it is enthrall. It is enthrall. So because I am endearing, maybe I have an opportunity to enthrall people. Maybe I'm enthralling. And what does that mean? And what does it have to do with service, Ella? In service, we take on. We take on the undertaking, right? It is an undertaking of service that endears us to enthralled persons who are enthralled by our service, by our selflessness, by our intellectual creativity. And my character has that in spades. He is not a woe it's me, my dick so small I can't even find a condom to wear. No, he's not that guy. He is who wants to embarrass a bunch of 6th grade kids when I was in the 6th grade and didn't realize I didn't have a normal dick. He's Mr. Oh, you see that as a problem. I see it as an opportunity. I'm here for a good time. That's endearing. I'm going to undertake this whole situation because you know what? I can. I have what it takes to perform these duties. I have what it takes to achieve. I have what it takes to satisfy what this need is. I can answer the call. I have something to contribute because I am enough. Knowing that in itself is service. When you know you are enough to be great, regardless of anything else that's going on. And what does enthrall mean? Where does it take us? Enthrall takes us to our next word. It is our next word. It is to influence by or as if by charms and incantations. To attract and move deeply, to rouse to ecstatic admiration, made to feel delightfully pleased or charmed, to make secure, to cause to have an emotional attachment, to fasten together, to bring about understanding, to cover, protect, and strengthen, to make a firm commitment. Say what? We started with endeavor. That is to work, to have a purpose. We went on to endear, to produce, and affection. We end with enthrall, influence, understanding. We want to influence understanding. That is what service is all about. Service is about influencing humanity and their understanding of who they are, where they are, how they are. Let's put this all together. So, Ella, how does serving others lead to living some kind of enchanted life? How is that even like a thing? All I've gotten so far is that I'm going to be working really, really hard for everybody else's benefits. And I'm going to be getting absolutely nothing. And you're wrong, because serving others is the enchanting life, because it allows us to luxuriate. That's the word we get to. We are able to luxuriate. It's time to close this segment out. It is time to close this Word Nerd Girl segment out. So let me break this down for you. What is luxuriate? It is to grow profusely, to progress toward or realize a goal despite of or because of circumstances. It is to develop extensively, to indulge oneself of the finest and richest kinds, a time or instance of carefree fun. And your question is, well, damn, Ella, that sounds a lot like living the decadent lifestyle. What are you pulling here? Are you trying to set us up? Are you trying to set us up, Ella? What gives? Luxuriate. Écoutez bien. Extensive growth, development, and optimization in the areas of intellect for the purpose of realizing the soul's vow of service to humanity through creativity, all while experiencing freedom, joy, and abundance. Wait. Elishon Southern, gothic erotic romance writer, say what? To luxuriate. That is what service allows us to do, to luxuriate in extensive growth, development, and optimization in the areas of intellect for the purpose of realizing our soul's vow, for the purpose of doing what our enchanted beast came here to do, and that is to be of service to humanity through creativity, all while allowing us, the boats that are being driven by the beast, to experience freedom, joy, and abundance. that. And you're still confused because you're like, wait, but it still sounds a lot like decadence. Ella, freedom, joy, abundance. Isn't that what decadence is? No. So I'm going to recap for you because maybe you forgot. I know I'm a little late. Let me help you out. The decadent lifestyle is filled with decay, regression, vanity, destruction, defeat, depravity. All those D things. That means that things are being taken away from you. The enchanted lifestyle is progress. It's intellectualism. It's creativity. It's freedom. It's service. It's joy. It's abundance. It's growth. They are nothing alike. And yet, some of us are so deeply entrenched in this need to be in the decadent lifestyle, to believe the lie that we've been told, to buy into what perhaps our beast has allowed us to experience for the sole purpose of learning to use the principles of design so that we are able to craft our own enchanted life. So to answer your question, is the enchanted lifestyle the same as the decadent lifestyle? Hell to the no. Hell no. No way in hell could they be the same. The enchanted lifestyle is one of high light frequency. It is purposed. It is forward moving. It is growth building. So I'm going to help you figure out how to design your most enchanted life using the design principles. Keep up. Get your notebooks or download this episode so you can go back and listen to it again. Because this is some real important shit I'm getting ready to share with you. I had no idea this was coming. I started working on this script and Lilith, as always, took over and said, you think that you're just talking about some stuff because it fits in with your situation. No, crazy woman. I am ready for you to start designing your most enchanting life, Ella. I am ready to help you design your most enchanted life, our enchanted life. We have shit to do and we don't have all day to do it. So fine, share it with everybody. Share it with the masses. But don't just do your podcast. Don't just do your podcast. You're going to be using this. This is the foundational work for building your enchanted life. I think I need maybe 20 more minutes. That's all I'm going to take. 20 more minutes of your time. Stay with me. You want this. We went over design principles in the last episode. And I talked about what design was and how our beast used those principles to set us up. Set us up good. Because our beast want us to understand those design principles. And when you understand, you can apply them to anything, including and not limited to building your most enchanted life. Now, let me throw this out here really fast, because I don't want anybody to get it twisted. What I am getting ready to share with you is the foundation for my most enchanted life. You can use these same principles and they may configure in a completely different way, but this is how they configure for me. This is the road that Lilith and the universe have for me. So first off, how is using design principles, how is this supposed to help me? I want you to remember that design is purpose, planning, and intention behind actions, facts, and material objects, okay? These principles are universal. You can apply them to anything, anywhere, anytime, anybody. All great designs begin with purpose. Follow through with planning, and then, of course, implementation with intention. We use intention when we are implementing the plan to achieve the purpose. Because the traps of the decadent lifestyle, they're all based in these design principles. And so Lilith was talking to me, and she said, do you remember how I opened your eyes to those traps, girl? And I'm like, yep, I remember. And you remember how I told you to pay attention to how those things were set and established? I said, yeah, I remember. So what does that say to you? What does that mean to you? And I sat back and I thought, and I was like, you know, you really did set me up. Like, you did that for real? And here's Lilith's answer, because she's rude. Hell yeah. Ella, you know. You've known all along that the universe and I had plans for you. You know that. Of course I set your ass up. How else would you ever live the enchanted life we designed for you? Fine. I'll accept that, because I know that these plans that she and the universe have, you know, designed for me, they are for my highest good and for the highest good of humanity. So I'm accepting it. So recap. The seven principles of design are balance, rhythm, pattern, emphasis, contrast, unity, and movement. I am using my alternative words when I am building my design for my enchanted life. Those alternative words are stability, sequence, repetition, stress, change, assimilation, control. And some other things I've moved around because they just make sense to me. So I'm keeping my principles, right? Stability, sequence, repetition, stress, change, assimilation, freedom. But I am thinking, in my planning, I need to start with my perspective. Like, what has to be understood before I can even accept or adopt this plan to create this enchanted life? What is the structure of the enchanted life? Like, what actions will I have to do? What will I have to endeavor in order to bring about this enchanted life? And what are my intentions? What intentions are driving my actions? So when I think about my perspective, I have to accept that stress and change are part of life. I have to accept them as truth. And those have to be my underlying understanding and acceptance. And I cannot balk when shit comes my way, because I've already said, I know it's going to happen. How am I going to take action in this enchanted life? What will my actions look like? And I'm looking at sequence, repetition, and assimilation. These are things that I have to do in my life regularly if I am to live this enchanted life of service through intellectual creativity. I have to do these certain things. Intention, what's going to be driving me? Well, I am hoping and looking to provide stability and freedom. Because with control, there is freedom. Yes? So my intention is to move in and create stability and freedom. Perspective. Another way to look at perspective is acceptance. What will you accept? The capacity to view things in their true relation or relative importance. What is it that I have to be willing to accept as fact if I'm going to undertake creating this enchanted life? Well, I was stumped. Because I know I have to accept that, you know, stress and change happen. I know I have to accept it. But my question was, how? How can I accept this in a way that does not drive me batshit crazy or leaves me apathetic? And I started thinking about the immutability of universal laws, the laws of physics that apply to both physical and ethereal spaces. And y'all, you could have blown me over with a tiny, tiny win, because I jumped down that damn rabbit hole and I followed the white rabbit. That little rabbit did not fail me at all. So, perspective. The first thing I have to accept is the law of relativity. Each person will be tested for the purpose of strengthening the light within. There is nothing I can do about that. I am going to be tested. I have to be tested, because if I am not tested, then how will my beast know what I have learned? And if I am not tested, she is not tested through me, ergo she cannot understand what she has learned. So the test are designed to strengthen our light, to make us stronger, to provide us with context. It is also important that we understand it doesn't matter how hard our road is. It doesn't matter what shit comes our way. It doesn't matter how messed up our lives may appear. There is always someone who would take where you are in a heartbeat. That is the law of relativity. Relatively speaking, yes, our shit stinks. However, at least we can flush it, because somebody's shit stinking and it's just sitting in a bucket in the corner of the room that they live in. Law of relativity helps me accept that shit is going to happen, that stress is going to come, that I am going to be tested. I can accept that, knowing that it is for my own good that I am being tested. It is for the good of my beast that we are being tested. And there's always someone who would rather be in my shoes. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break, but I will be back really quickly. So please stay tuned for the conclusion of this episode. Guys, I am out here in my little cottage and it is raining cats and dogs, so you're probably going to hear it, but I swear to God, it sounds so good. It sounds so good. Anyway, the second perspective that I have to accept as truth is that change happens. Nothing ever stays the same. The only guarantee in life is change. And yes, some of that change, as we have discussed previously on Enchanted Beast Podcast, is traumatic. In fact, all change is traumatic. Even change that lifts us up is traumatic. We have to accept that. How can I do that, Spirit? Lilith, how can I accept this as a reality? Look to the law of perpetual transmutation. Oh, okay. I didn't even know that was a damn law, but it is. Everything is in a constant state of change. We can affect what and how our lives change by understanding how we can use cosmic energy to elevate our vibration and change the way we think and allow what is meant to be horrible for us to be transmutated into something amazing. Just like my man in intersectionality. Yep, I got a 3.7-inch dick when it's hard. Nope, it's not really gonna do a lot to satisfy most people. However, I have very talented hands and I am probably the most amazing guy at eating pussy you've ever met. There are more ways to pleasure a woman or a man. I'm going to take this lowbrow energy. I'm going to feed it some high vibratory vibes. I'm going to, you know, do what I do. And I'm going to raise it from low and dense to high and light. That is the perspective you have to take when you are embarking on creating this enchanted life. You have to understand you're going to be tested. You're going to have trials. Things are going to fall through. It's going to look like your world is coming apart. And yet, everything is working for your highest good, and there are always people who are worse off than you. So think about life relatively. You have to understand things are always changing. There's nothing you can do about those changes. Nothing at all. But you can affect how those changes work in your life. You don't have to leave those changes that cause that heavy, dense energy to pool in your life. You don't have to leave them there. You can do the work and transmutate them into higher vibratory frequency. You're not stuck. Okay, fine. So now I get it. I can accept that. I'm fine. I know how to deal with stress and change. What's the structure? Like, what do you want me to do? How am I going to do these things, right? What actions do you require of me? First and foremost, again, I'm sticking with the laws, right? Because they're immutable and they're universal and they're applicable to any and everybody at any time. anywhere in the universe, right? So the structure, it is a construct or how something is arranged according to a plan, given a pattern or organization, right? So the first, you know, kind of, this is the action I need you to take, and it's governed by the law of reciprocity. I've always loved that word, reciprocity, not because of what it means, just because it's so pretty when you say it. Reciprocity, reciprocal. I love it. It's so pretty. The law of reciprocity. So here's how this law will help me sequence shit, which means to do things in a certain order. Right? Because I have to do things in a certain way, in a certain sequence. So the law of reciprocity is really simple, and most of us don't even realize that we are like bound to it, right? So let's say you and your best friend go to lunch. And you were prepared to pay for yourself, and you were thinking she was going to pay for herself. But then she's like, oh, girl, I got this. Put it on the same tab. And you're like, what? And the next thing you say is, you know what? Next time we go out, I got you. I'm paying for lunch. There is an innate need, a desire to reciprocate when people are nice to you. And inversely, there is an innate need and desire to reciprocate when people are not nice to you. It is a part of who we are. It is how we are made up. It is a universal, immutable law, the law of reciprocity. Integrate the law of reciprocity into your daily pursuits. Anything I do, I have to remember, I can't give what I'm not willing to take. I can't take what I'm not willing to give. What does that mean? Simplified, when I am out and about with people, or if I'm in my home with my family, it doesn't matter. Whatever I'm doing, if I'm not willing to have my three daughters talk to me like I'm garbage, or like I'm stupid, or like I don't matter, or my opinion doesn't matter, then I cannot talk to my daughters like what they say doesn't matter, like who they are doesn't matter, like what they say is stupid. I can't do that. If I don't want to be dismissed by my daughters, I cannot be dismissive to my daughters. Make sense? It also helps me to give my daughters what I want them to give me. I want my daughters to respect me. So I give them respect. I want my daughters to listen when I'm talking with them. So I listen when they're talking with me. I want my daughters and I to have fun together. So I relax and I chill with them, and they relax and chill with me. You can't give what you're not willing to take, and you can't take what you're not willing to give. The law of reciprocity, integrated into every day. Fine, check, I can do that. That's my sequence. So what about like my pattern? Oh yeah, I got you covered. That's the law of vibration. You have to have repetition in your life. You have to have repetition in your life because repetition sets standards. Standards set modus operandi, MOs, how you do things, the way you govern yourself. It is how the construct moves. So I want you to engage in repetitive rituals that raise your individual vibrations every day. What? Make sure you're drinking lots and lots of water. Stay away from dead flesh, That's going to lower your vibratory energy. Make sure you're getting out in nature. Make sure you are using essential oils that raise your vibrations. Give yourself sounds that raise vibrations. Move your body. Dance. Do yoga. Go for a run. Go for a walk. Right? Stay away from people with low vibratory energy because they will bring you down. You cannot raise theirs. They can only bring you down. Surround yourself with people who are vibrant at your frequency because that is all it takes to have this enchanted life, to be tuned in to the divine feminine and the divine masculine energy of creativity and understanding. Get your frequencies up. Vibe at a higher frequency. The higher the frequency, the lighter the frequency. The lighter the frequency, the easier it is to connect to, with, through, for divinity. And what about this whole assimilation thing? Like, what, assimilate into what? And of course, Lilith was like, me, dummy, you're supposed to be unifying with me. And okay, fine, but tell me, how is this like, how do I do it? The law of divine oneness. What? The law of divine oneness. Just know this. Everyone and everything in the universe is connected. We are not separate. There is no separation between you and the people who live across the globe in another hemisphere. There's no separation from you and the tree that is growing in your backyard. There is no separation between you and the divine feminine and the divine masculine. You are all of them. They are all of you. We are we. I am we. I am a collective. And this one thing here, just knowing and believing and trusting that I am connected to every living being, everything in the universe, including the divine feminine, divine masculine, cosmic energy, I am connected to all of it. It is at my fingertips. It is at my disposal. I have access to all of it. It keeps me from thinking horrible thoughts about people who look different from me, who speak differently from me, who believe differently from me. It allows me to see myself in everyone and in everything. And the law of reciprocity demands that I give nothing I am not willing to take. And because I want to vibrate at a higher frequency, I'm not dealing with heavy, dank energy. I'm not dealing with people who have that energy. I'm not tossing that type of energy out. So the structure, the things I need you to do, Ella, for your enchanted life. And again, this is mine. I'm like working my shit out here. This is my enchanted life plan here. My design for my enchanted life is very simple. My structure or my plan of action is live by the law of reciprocity in everything you do, everything you say, everything you think, every aspect of your life. Remember the law of reciprocity. Keep your freaking vibrations high and light. And know that you are connected to everything and the divine energy of both masculine and feminine natures. And there is no separation between any of it. Okay. So I'm going through these actions. I'm with you. And I am doing them with the intention of stability and freedom. Yes. So what will I achieve? Because intentions, what am I going to achieve, right? Intention is a concept considered as the product of attention directed to an object of knowledge, right? So if I'm pouring my attention into this, then what am I achieving? How do I do this? Give me some guidance, Lilith. The law of correspondence. What's that? The law of correspondence. This is how you will maintain stability. Focus your attention on creating harmony in your spiritual, mental, and emotional bodies. Focus on creating harmony in your subtle bodies, in your energetic bodies. Because whatever you create in those bodies automatically corresponds into the physical world in kind. As is above is below. As is within is without. That is the law of correspondence. Don't worry about what's happening in your physical space, in your physical life, in your physical body. Pay attention to what is going on in your spiritual body, in your mental body, your emotional body. Bring about harmony, bring about peace, bring about gratitude, bring about high vibratory energy there, and it will be made manifest in your physical. It is a universal law. It is the law of correspondence. That's stability. That's how you become stable. Okay, and this whole freedom thing, the law of non-resistance. Wait, like, is this something Gandhi made up? No, crazy. Not least resistance or passive. No. This is a universal law of non-resistance. Embrace everything. What? That was my response. What? Embrace everything. Every change, whether it impacts your life in a high vibratory manner or a low vibratory manner, embrace it. Don't resist it. Embrace new experiences, opportunities. Embrace shit that scares you. Because here's the truth. The more you run away from shit, the faster it's going to catch you and bite you in the ass. I want you to think about that. Think about how much you resist something you resist flat out. I'm never going to do this. I don't want to do this. I'm never going to allow myself to be a part of that. And you resist and resist and resist. And then ultimately what happens? You end up falling victim to it because you are focusing all your energy on not becoming a part of it, on not doing it. Just embrace it. Embrace whatever happens in your life. Embrace it knowing that everything is moving you forward and everything is meant for your highest good and that you are in your most enchanted life because you have access to unlimited feminine divine, feminine masculine energy. And with that, you are in the service of humanity. Don't worry about it, sweetheart. Embrace it. Embrace it. Stop resisting. Life is about flow. Move through your life like water. Water does not try to make things conform to it. And it is the most powerful force of nature. And yet, if it goes through a canyon, it takes the shape of that canyon. If it goes into a gullet, it takes the shape of that gullet. You put it into any type of mold, it takes the shape of the mold. It is not fighting to make the mold create itself around the water. The water's like, whatever, shit, I'll keep moving regardless. And I move easier if I don't resist what's in my way. So you want to narrow the passage? That's cool. I can go from being a raging river to a stream. I'm clutch as long as I'm moving. That's all that matters. You want to send me through a pinhole of granite rock? That's cool. I'll come out as a little bit of spring water, full of minerals and sweetness and goodness and ice cold, even on the hottest day. I'm fine as long as I am moving. That is the law of non-resistance. Stop resisting shit. Stop running from stuff that scares you. Embrace it. Because everything is moving us forward. Always. Let me wrap it up. I'm over by maybe 1 or 2 minutes. Let me give you your takeaway. Using the principles of design to create the most enchanted life you can have is not a one shot and you're done kind of deal. This design for your lifestyle, it is a working, breathing, living entity. It will grow and change and flourish as you continue to grow. As you continue to develop, as you continue to plug deeper into the divine feminine and the divine masculine, so your design has to continue to grow with you. It is not a, let me write this down in concrete. Let me chisel this in some stones and this is how it's going to be. No, we're not setting shit up like the Ten Commandments because everything changes. Everything changes. That's one of the laws. We are in constant change. That's the only guarantee. So because everything is in a state of constant change, we have to be willing to change with it. So, here are my closing points. Our enchanted beast and the universe set our asses up to live our most enchanted lives. The enchanted lifestyle requires commitment to growth in the areas of intellectual creativity, and we have to be committed to serving humanity with those gifts. We have to be like little odd Timothy Green. We have to use these leaves to do what we came here to do what our beast came here to do. There are 7 principles of design. Every one of them must be understood and used. How you configure them, well, that's between you and your beast. But you need to use them. All actions are governed by universal laws. Familiarize yourself with them. I used 7 of the 12. In this incarnation of my design. Who knows? Maybe in a couple of months when I go back and check my design and see how things are going, I'll need to change some shit around and pull in some other laws. Don't be afraid to trust these universal laws, because these universal laws are connected to universal truths. And universal truths are connected to divine universe energy, masculine and feminine. Don't be afraid to trust that divine energy. Don't be afraid to trust your beast, which is divine energy, masculine and feminine, both in the same body. You need to understand that. And the only change I have control over, the only change any of us have control over, are the changes I create for myself. I can't make anybody else's life better. I'm not here to do that. I can only affect change in my life and share whatever I can through whatever creative endeavors I am gifted with humanity, and hope to spark an interest in them changing their lives. That's it. That's all I have. That is all I have, and I am done. That brings us to the end of this episode of Enchanted Beast Podcast and our bi-weekly walk through the Enchanted Forest. I am so glad you guys stuck it out with me. If you did, if you made it to the end of this, pat yourself on the back, give yourself a glass of good red or white, and some good dark chocolate, and some good. You know what I mean. I'd like to thank everyone who has subscribed. I'd like to thank everyone who's tuning in. Please share this with your friends, with your coworkers, with your family members. If you are getting anything out of this, give me a call. Let me know. I'd love to hear your voice, or you can shoot me an email. I just love to hear from you. Tell me about your designs for your enchanted life. I'd love to know how you're breaking out of your decadent lifestyle trap and moving into your most enchanted life. So, until next time, this is your girl, Ella Shawn, reminding you to be brave, be beautiful, and always live enchanted. Remember,
this has been Enchanted Beast Podcast. I'll leave some information
in the description with your host, for you.
Southern Gothic and erotic romance writer, Ella Shawn. Thanks for joining
until next time
in the Enchanted Forest.
Bye.
Reminding you, as always, to be brave, be beautiful, and live enchanted.